This is the Breaker.News podcast for April 15th, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, regular features such as the Is It Just Me commentary, Around the Rim, headlines from around the Pacific Rim, Cascadia Calling, headlines from around the Pacific Northwest. And the big deal feature this week, part one, as Calgary City Council gears up to decide whether it wants to bid for the 2026 Winter Olympics or not, we speak with Calgary City Councillor Sean Chu. And part two, looking ahead to Vancouver's civic elections with Mario Canseco of Research Co. and Barb Justison of Justison Market Intelligence. And the Breaker will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those who made a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or was the way that Kinder Morgan announced its threat to kill the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion delivered so poorly that even supporters of this project should think twice about this company? Who issues a news release at 2 p.m. Pacific or 5 p.m. Eastern on a Sunday afternoon? Who issues a news release less than 2 days after a tragic, horrific truck and bus crash that killed more than half a junior hockey team in rural Saskatchewan and put the entire nation under a cloud of sorrow? Who issues a news release that ignites an already overheated, polarizing debate before a nationally televised vigil at the hockey rink where the team was supposed to be playing a game? Who does that? A company from Texas that puts its directors, executives, and major shareholders before Canadians and the decency that they're known for. Imagine the blowback if a Texas high school or college football team had been wiped out in a bus crash in Texas, and a Canadian company that was in dispute with the Texas government had interrupted Texans' mourning to make a political statement. You bet Texans would have let us know about it. Bad timing, Kinder Morgan. It's too bad Canadians haven't had time to pause and think about your distasteful action on April 8th. Why could you not have waited until Monday morning, April 9th? Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim, looking at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. We start in the Andina News Service in Peru, Summit of the Americas, a response to corruption. In an opinion piece published by El Comercio newspaper, President Martin Vizcarra wrote, "Systemic corruption is the new threat to democratic governance in the region. The 8th Summit of the Americas, taking place this week in Lima, is a continental response to that scourge. The head of state recalled Peru had proposed to defend democratic governance against corruption as the core theme of this regional event due to the car wash scandal which broke out last year in Brazil." In the South China Morning Post, Zhuang Pingwei reports, "China's Hawaii set to become pilot free trade port in next phase of countries opening up." President Xi Jinping announced a grand plan for Hainan that could see it challenging major ports such as Hong Kong and Singapore. Xi unveiled the grand plan for the island of 9.3 million people when he attended a conference in Haikou, the provincial capital, to mark the 30th anniversary of the establishment of the Hainan Special Economic Zone. Hainan will not only become China's 12th free trade zone, but become the largest free trade port in the world. There are also plans to turn the island into a global tourism hotspot and strategic base for the country. And in the Anchorage Daily News, Michelle Theriault Boots reports, "Alaska fentanyl overdose deaths more than quadrupled in 2017. 100 people died from opioid overdoses in 2017, according to state public health officials. While that's up slightly from 96 the year before, the number of fentanyl overdose deaths jumped from 8 in 2016 to 37 last year. 36 of the 100 overdose deaths involved heroin, and 50 were linked to prescription opioid painkillers." That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. First, in the Bellingham Herald, Dave Gallagher reports, trade war? New owners of Mount Baker Vineyards ready to do business in China. Mount Baker Vineyards and Winery has a new owner who has big plans for the winery and the local community. A company from China called Sun King Finance Group has purchased the facility from Randy Finley and Patricia Clark Finley, who operated Mount Baker Vineyards for more than 25 years. The new owners plan on adding a key component to the business, exporting wine produced in the facility to China. The move would mean more jobs and a revitalized part of Whatcom County, said Hui Kok, CEO of Mount Baker Vineyards. Sun King is a global investment brokerage company that helps people open stock accounts, including for the Stock Exchange of Hong Kong. Isabella Rahim of Czech News in Victoria reports, clean air bylaw to include vaping and cannabis. Opponents say they have nowhere to go. Just like cigarette smokers, those who vape and smoke cannabis will be banned from smoking in parks, playgrounds, and bus stops around Victoria, BC. They will also have to stay at least 7 meters away from doorways and windows. People in support of vaping and cannabis are speaking out after the Capital Regional District amended the Clean Air Bylaw at its meeting on April 11th. According to the CRD, the amendment ensures people are protected from the potential immediate and long-term health consequences related to secondhand emissions from any substance that can be smoked or burned. If they don't want secondhand smoke, let us have lounges, said Ted Smith, the founder of Victoria Cannabis Buyers Club. Says James Whitehead of Mediwana, there are rules on recreational things like you can't drink and drive, you can't carry a beer in public, so I don't see why recreational cannabis would not carry a similar host of restrictions. And also this week in the Breaker.News, we reported that Vancouver City Councillor Hector Bremner wants to be mayor, but he could be investigated for a conflict of interest after a citizen complained about his work at the Pace Group lobbying company. Richmond City Councillor Chak Au ran and lost for the NDP in the 2017 election, but he donated $5,000 to the party after arranging a fundraiser for Premier John Horgan last August. And a BC Supreme Court judge quashed a citizen's lawsuit against the BC Liberal Party for the $20 million of pre-election advertising. The judge said a political party can't be sued. Read the full stories in the Breaker.News. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. Part 1. Calgary is one of 7 cities that has shown interest in bidding for the 2026 Winter Olympics. The International Olympic Committee will choose a host in September 2019. Calgary hosted the 1988 Winter Games, and some in the Stampede City want to do it all over again. But others are not so sure because of the cost of the Games, estimated at $4.6 billion, and a lack of transparency about the $5 million that has already been spent to explore the bid. Calgary City Council will vote this week on whether to continue. One of those critics is Councillor Sean Chu. If Council votes to continue the process, Councillor Chu wants citizens to have the right to choose the fate of the bid and the future of their city in a plebiscite. Councillor Chu spoke to The Breaker from Calgary. A lot of money is on the line, and a lot of people want to have a say on whether the Calgary Olympic bid should go ahead. So I asked Councillor Chu about the deep divisions on Mayor Nahid Nenshi's city council.
Everybody knows that the mayor wants to have Olympic. He given all the fights to people and the perceptions that he really wanted. So now going forward, as you saw, the latest news, and it's that, yeah, he's calling everybody name again because we're not good enough, we're short-sighted, and that we have to go ahead with this. Because some people said that, we're already sinking so much money in, we should keep going forward. And other people said that, well, this would be good, especially a lot of athletes. They are doing a demonstration today or something, rally, I guess. and they wanted this. Of course, they're the, you know, every time you ask about spending money, you always look at it. Who benefits? Again, athlete. Of course, athlete benefits. And some people said that, well, you know, this would be good, put us on the map, and we need an injunction. And there's also fallacy, in my opinion, is that, oh, we're going to get, we need this so we can have infrastructure. So you potentially going into something, sign the deal, you don't even know how much you're going to spend, but just because you can get some crumbs. So to me, it's fallacy, one, first of all, and second, it's just wrong way of doing business. And the saying of, you know, this will put us on the map. Of course, $4.6 billion, you'll put anything on the map, right? And so I don't agree with that. And then some people say, well, 10, 17 days party. Of course, it's party. I get that. At the same time, what would be good for Calgary? I also get that too. But you look at the Korea, they potentially up to $10 billion overspent. And the ticket sales. Have you ever seen Korea? And they have to give away tickets to for people to fill up the stadium. So that's another fallacy that we're going to cover $2.2 billion from ticket sales and others. But you got to remember, IOC gets all the TV rights, nobody else.
I also asked Councillor Chu about the lack of transparency that surrounds the Olympics. Here in British Columbia, the Auditor General never did a final report on the Vancouver 2010 Games, and the Vancouver Organizing Committee was exempt from the Freedom of Information Law. Its board minutes and financial records, including payroll and procurement documents, those are all sealed from the public eye until 2025.
At the PFC meeting, again, I asked the question. I say, so, okay, I go through all the documents. I didn't see any, you talk about has to be transparent and everything. First of all, you don't have anything talking about auditing. You got everything else, but no auditing. Second, why are you guys exempt from FOIP? Right? And I use the Vancouver thing and example is that there's no FOIP. You're not allowed to be FOIP. And then the document, everything's sealed. There's always that sealed because that's the minute stuff. And I said, well, it's not true. A lot of stuff is sealed. And then why are we talking about transparent at the one hand, other hand that, well, you cannot FOIP us. And on the same time, about the engagement piece. And they have four ladies from four different organizations. They are all cheerleaders for Olympics. They are doing the engagement. And I say, if you're going to engage the public, don't you think it's prudent, where it only makes sense to have public on the committee? Right? They didn't say anything.
That was Councillor Sean Chu from the City of Calgary. This is part two of the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. In 6 months, on October 20th, Vancouverites will go to the polls to elect a new mayor. That's because Vision Vancouver's Gregor Robertson will not seek a fourth term. Vision looks destined to rely on party insider Shauna Sylvester, who is calling herself independent. Three are vying for the nonpartisan association nod: Councillor Hector Bremner, former Park Board Chair John Cooper, and accountability activist Glenn Chernin. Who has the best chance so far, and what is the public thinking? To find out the answers to those questions, we went to experts. First, commentator and pollster Mario Canseco has started a new public opinion company called Research Co. Research Co.'s first poll on the Vancouver civic election was released April 12th. And Barb Justison, who is the principal in Justison Market Intelligence. She's a longtime analyst of Vancouver civic issues and personalities.
I think one of the highlights would be definitely the level of support for Adrienne Carr, how many people believe that she would be a good choice for mayor. What's interesting about it is it's fairly stable across the entire city. We're not seeing a situation like we see normally with the NPA being more popular on the west and Vision being more popular in the east side. good numbers for her, and definitely a situation where she would get some voters who supported Gregor Robertson and Kirk Lapointe the last time. So if you're looking for a candidate who might be the unity candidate, if you're disappointed with the way things are going, or if you are not too keen on the MPA running the show, then Adrian Carr could be the person for that.
And we're also seeing that Gene Swanson is being looked at as a good choice, but also on the other side of the coin, the right of center, Wai Young at 13% and Hector Bremner at 12% were both seen as bad choices.
Yeah, I think that was one of the issues that that I think this shows for the MPA is they're not really having this sort of golden knight that is going to come in here either from BC politics or some other career. We have a councillor, an incumbent councillor who might run for mayor, which is something that they've done before many times, but he's not that well known. He's only been there for a little while. He was elected in a contest that was plagued by a very low voter turnout, so that definitely plays a role into why he's not well known. And the Wai Young angle is quite interesting because she's not interested in running as an MPA candidate. But even if she can get 5, 7, maybe 10% of the vote as an independent, that share of the vote is coming directly from the MPA's column. So that could facilitate things for a candidate from the center left to be the next mayor.
And indeed, that the MPA has three people declared so far. Hector Bremner is the most organized. He became a city councillor in the by-election last fall. There's Glenn Chernin from the Cedar Party from the past election, and John Cooper from Park Board, perhaps the most politically experienced of the three. The MPA will decide May 29th. Vision, of course, is in shambles in many ways. Shauna Sylvester is the only Vision member so far declared, even though she is claiming to be an independent. What were the respondents saying about those, especially about Shauna?
Well, the Shauna situation is interesting because we don't see the level of support from the Vision voter that we would expect. So there's a little bit of a connection issue there. It's not as she's seen as the favorable candidate by everybody who voted for Gregor Robertson, so that's definitely problematic. There's a name recognition issue. There's some difficulties. I think one of the shocking issues in the survey is that she's very popular downtown. I mean, we know she's been very active on SFU issues, but it's not a situation where she's going to be suddenly becoming the front runner. She's not that well known, I would say. And I think we're also coming off the discussions about bringing somebody from BC politics into this. We talked about Spencer Chandra Herbert maybe running. We talked about Don Davies. We talked about incumbent councillors becoming candidates for mayor. And all of those people have a higher profile at this stage. So the main difficulty for Shauna Sylvester is, can she get herself out there enough to be seen as a candidate, but also not to be seen as the heir apparent of Vision, because Vision's numbers right now across the city are not fantastic.
Indeed, the number in the Research Co survey for Vision Vancouver, the negative sentiment was 43%. 43% of respondents felt negative about Vision Vancouver compared to 32% for the NPA. Barb, have you seen this kind of negative feeling toward a civic party in recent years?
No, I don't think so. No, this is unexpected. And to see the Green Party at the top of the list as the most preferred by a ratio of nearly 2-1 is definitely unexpected. Keeping in mind, Mario was speaking to, or that his research was among residents and not necessarily decided voters. Everything can change in a campaign. And circling back to Shauna Sylvester, things can change once the campaign gets up and running. Right at the moment, we haven't been talking about it, but Adrian Carr, by a ratio of 2-1 over second place, Gene Swanson. At this stage, preferred by 30% of men versus 22% of women, and support for Adrian Carr increases with age. 40% among those aged 55 and older, a contingent that will get out to vote.
Well, that's a key issue for the Greens right now, because if you look at the support for the Green Party at the federal level or at the BC level here, it's usually the younger voters who are more likely to say, we're going to vote for the Green Party, and support for the Greens starts to drop with age. Adrian Carr has the opposite effect. It's the over 55s who are saying, maybe it's time for somebody who is not an MPAer or a Vision Vancouver person to run the city.
And she was the bottom vote getter in 2011, if I recall. She barely squeaked in as a councillor, and by 2014 she was the top vote getter, by far and away the most popular councillor, getting huge numbers of votes. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. So, you know, an obvious choice to run for mayor, but and by far more popular, I think, than the party at this stage as well, or to some degree more popular than the party. The party has some catching up to do.
Barb, is there anything that Vision Vancouver can do to rescue its brand, or is it too late? Is this the party that's always going to be known as Gregor Robertson's party?
Gregor Robertson's and Adrian Reimers and the whole Vision, even Jeff Meggs, the whole Vision group. No, it's over. Their decision not to run says everything, and they're not running a mayoral candidate. No. We'll see what they do regarding pushing forward some council members, but I think it'll be a token effort.
It's a difficult one also because there was no preparation for this, and I think when you had discussions and you had the incumbent mayor saying, I will run again, you sort of throw everything out of the balance. There's been parties that have succeeded municipally, provincially, federally by anointing a successor at an early stage. When you don't have that ability, that's when you end up with what we have right now, which is a lot of confusion for the Vision voter. If you're somebody who truly believes that this is what you want to see happening, who is going to be your candidate?
And finally, there's a lot of voters and a lot of municipalities who will be faced with a lot of new names on the ballot this fall. There are a lot of mayors that are not running. The latest this week to announce that she's not running was a surprise. Linda Heppner in Surrey, just a couple months after she said she was going to run. That leaves, by my calculation, about 1.57 million citizens who live in municipalities where there will be a new mayor. And that's not counting those municipalities where the few incumbents, could be defeated. The incumbents that are remaining include Derek Corrigan in Burnaby, who's probably a shoo-in to be reelected just because the power of Burnaby Citizens Association and the demographics in Burnaby. But Richmond, there could be challengers to Malcolm Brody. What do you think of this landscape that is changing this fall before our eyes?
I think it has a lot to do with the new regulations for the campaign. The fact that you cannot have the corporate and union donations that you had in the past is making this more similar to the grassroots campaigns that we used to have in the 70s and 80s, knocking on doors, trying to do the best you could with the budget at your disposal. Some of these incumbents know what it's like to run with a war chest that is full of money, with a war room that always has pizza and hot coffee. And they're in for a very different scenario this time around because the money is not going to be there. So that might be one of the reasons for some of them to leave. And ultimately, I think there's a difficulty in trying to establish that connection with the voters when you no longer have those tools at your disposal. We're not going to get the flashy flyers that we used to get, and we're probably going to see fewer advertisements in radio and TV than we have seen in years past.
That was Mario Canseco of Research Co. and Barb Justison of Justison Market Intelligence. Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to a deserving person or organization that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Jennifer Pinch and the rest of the Hockey Moms in Langley, BC, who organized Jersey Day on April 12th to pay tribute to the victims, the survivors, and the families of the Humboldt Broncos. People across Canada and across the world donned jerseys from hockey and other sports and shared their photographs on social media. It was a smart way to celebrate sport and to share some love with the people in Humboldt who need it now more than ever. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Well, that's it for the Breaker.News podcast for April 15th, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know April 15th is a day of triumph and tragedy in the world of sport? First, the triumph. On April 15th, 1896, the first modern Olympics closed in Athens, Greece. And the tragedy. The Hillsborough disaster on this day in 1989 when 96 Liverpool fans died. And the Boston Marathon bombing on April 15, 2013, when 3 people died and 264 were injured. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.